From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the ninth day of March 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzlo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's out of Atchison, Kansas. And a bit later in the program, I'll help you take a look at Explore ACES. Joy Stackhouse was on campus earlier today with seven students wondering about agricultural careers. She's with the Chicago Public Schools and the Chicago Vocational Academy Career High School. You'll want to hear that. We'll also talk about the weather forecast for the day, and I'll let you know about an upcoming Will Ag panel. That's next week in Clinton, Illinois, along with WHOW, thanks to Jared White and Company and Randy Miller there. We'll have a panel Wednesday night over at the Richland Community College building in Clinton. It starts at 6:30. More details as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. From Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzlo is here. He's from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. First things first, Mike, thanks for coming over to the Beef House on Tuesday.
Had a great time. It was a very nice show again, Todd. Very well done. Great to see everybody over there. And had a really nice day as a whole. And I think that the market was kind of tame that day, and it was nice to be able to get a little bit of planning done and not have to be shaken up by the markets moving so violently. Oftentimes when we have that Beef House meeting, there's something rocking and rolling and really, you know, makes everybody a little bit more nervous. But I thought some planning could be done as a result of that meeting.
Yeah, it was a very nice couple of days since then, but the rocking and rolling started today.
Yes, it did. Yeah, and, you know, all the calls I fielded today, because this is my first full day back in the office, but all the calls were essentially, do I need to rush to sell? And I other than getting some catch-up sales made in new crop soybeans, because we were still trading well above 10.15, 10.20, did some earlier sales this week at 10:45, but didn't want to push the button too hard. Two big reasons. One, while the meal technicals did go back below their mid-February weekly high, we still have a very key support level between 365 and 368. So you're roughly $2 away from the next good support level in the meal market. I think you can wait for that to see if you need to sell any more additional bushels, especially given the fact that we did see a pretty big drop in the Rotterdam meal prices this week. I think we were down about $21 or about 5%. So we matched up really nicely with the break in the meal futures down about 5% and still following the Rotterdam meal price. Second thing is the grains weather. And we're just now in Kansas finishing up 50 wildfires that the good people at the fire departments and State Patrol are putting out at this point and getting under control. And it's only going to get worse, it sounds like. There's a chance for some rains on Saturday, but we're looking at 20% chances. And then it gets warmer and drier, it looks like, in the farther forecast. So I'm not a big fan of rushing into selling either wheat or corn here, especially.
Yeah, so this would be for old and new crop both?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is where the old crop beans are probably going to be under some continued basis pressure. And, you know, Todd, when you look at the last 4 months, I mean, it's kind of hard to imagine. And I know that we've got more competition in a way for the soybeans and less competition from a standpoint of South America, but, you know, and more competition in terms of what China is going to do. But I went back and looked at the November USDA numbers, and we're essentially 15% lighter in U.S. corn ending stocks and 30% heavier in soybean ending stocks than we were just 4 months ago. So it makes sense why the trade did what it did today for the most part and what it did yesterday, and that is to sell off in the beans and keep the premium in the corn.
I haven't even done the ratio. Has it gotten back down to 2.5 to 1 or something like that? It's got to be getting close at this point, I suppose.
Yeah, it hit its 2017, D's 2017 low of 2.52, 2.53. I think it's going to close around 2.53. If we would go below 2.52, that would put you down to levels not seen since last October. And obviously, you'd wipe out all the 2018 gains on the ratio. And you bring up a good point. I wonder after this week whether we're not coming in with the stocks to use ratios in corn so low. I mean, U.S. corn stocks to use are the lowest since 2015, 2016. Global stocks to use are the lowest since 2012 in the drought year. So I wonder if we're not going to be under some pressure to add some, try and add and get some more corn acres planted here and entice farmers to do that, especially if the Delta states stay wet next week.
Well, if it stays dry in South America for a bit longer, I suppose maybe we could get the corn to come up rather than the beans to go down to make that happen.
Yeah, you still don't have that spread working there. I think the USDA is probably too low on their Brazilian bean production, and I think they're way too high on the Brazilian corn production. So I think that, especially given that we just got fresh harvest data on the soybeans out of Brazil, and they're starting to catch up there, but they're still very far behind. I think they're still about 10% behind or more on that second crop corn planting. So corn still looks like the best thing in the medium term. I'm not as nervous about the wheat in the medium term, except from a trade perspective and the tariffs that have been thrown out there earlier this week. But the weather, maybe we have a slower demand base and bigger global crops, but I think we'll see a reduction in U.S. supplies here in the not too distant future, given this weather here.
Kind of a good news, bad news situation, depending on the crop. But of course, you always have crop insurance put in place now. That's not bad for either the corn or the soybeans.
No, in the way of today's trade, you know, that good news, bad news, we've gotten accustomed to that in production agriculture, because that's the way the spread traders and the algo funds have been playing essentially since the financial crisis, is a way to reduce flat price risk. So they usually rob Peter to pay Paul anyway.
Anything out of the livestock side of the marketplace?
Yeah, you saw a nice recovery in the fat cattle. We traded a lot of cattle in Nebraska, about 11,000 head greater than last week for the same week last year. And I think that was very welcome news. We also had a very strong ability of the feeder cattle to withstand the corn pressure from the feeder corn spreading and that unwinding. So I'm inclined to think the 112.60 low that we put in June fats is probably one of the lower numbers we'll see until that contract expires.
I got one other last question for you. So you probably got a lot of phone calls today from producers going, hey, do I need to do something? I'm betting those are not the producers that actually followed your advice, or that from a bunch of other folks that said, have this much already pre-sold. They probably felt a whole lot easier about this.
You know, this is one of those years where, and we talked about this at the very end of the panel meeting on the corn panel at the Beef House. This is one of those years where I feel like producers are listening and seeing the same thing that we are seeing in the analytical world. And I think they're fairly well caught up on beans. And I think actually they're probably a little more aggressively sold on corn than we think they are, because I think the cash flow needs are there.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us, and really big time appreciate you coming over for the all-day Ag Outlook. I know it's a long haul from Atchison to here.
We had a great time, and we stayed over at the mother-in-law's in Lawrenceville, so it was a great trip all around.
That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Hey, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Friday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Glad you're along with us. You know, I've been telling you for the last couple of days that you should come visit us here on campus today and tomorrow for Explore Aces. Our buildings are open. And if you go to exploreaces.org, that's exploreaces.org online, you'll find a whole lot about what's happening. And you can visit us. We'd be glad to have you here if you're somebody who's just interested in seeing what our buildings look like, or you have a potential student that would like to come to the U of I. Again, visit exploreaces.org and hit that maps page. That's where you're going to find a lot of information. Joyce Stackhouse did that, I think, at some point. She's in Chicago, and with the Chicago Public Schools. Oftentimes, if you hear me talking about Chicago Public Schools, it'll be about the Chicago High School for Agriculture, but there's one that's been around for a whole lot longer. Joyce, it looks like you have 6, 7, 8 students here with you, and
right.
You're from
this
a different...
This is my group. Yeah. My group is 6, 7, with 7 students, but we brought 32 down, and some are at the engineering building. These are ag students here at Chicago Vocational High School, also known as CVS. And the doors open in 41.
So you've been around a long time. So Chicago Vocational School, now those of us who are in agriculture understand generally what that means. So these are vocational things. We think about those folks who are engineering. Sometimes in class, in high school, you might think about shop classes, but it's much deeper than that. It really is about preparing kids to go on into careers.
Yes, it is. And business ownership. Like one of our graduates is Gleisman orchid grower, I believe, greenhouse. And I was amazed when I started teaching there to find out this is who I've been buying these orchids from. He graduated from Chicago Vocational.
Yeah, so there can be deep roots in the system. What are you looking for in particular today, and what are you hoping to see?
Well, we're exploring ACES to look at viable careers that my students might want to check out a little more. And we especially want to go see that cow at the Stock Pavilion.
Oh, yeah, so everybody likes to come down and visit this fistulated cow. That's always something. That's a long-term experiment that's happened here and other universities, land grants, where the stomach is open and available for you to take a look at. And cows work different than we do, so that's just kind of fun. But Explore ACES has a little bit of something for everybody, generally speaking. Do we know what these students are thinking they might want to do as their careers?
Well, Walter over here is interested in animal sciences, and he's interested in large and small animal science, so he just wants to work with animals.
Again, Joyce, you brought the kids down, hopeful that they can take a look at campus from one end to the other, and you have a whole bunch of folks here. Do you do this every year to come down?
Actually, we bring a busload every year for the last 7 years. Our principal, Dr. Douglas Macklin, makes this possible. He takes care of everything to make sure that our children are exposed to every available opportunity.
Joyce Stackhouse is with the Chicago Vocational Career Academy. Now, you might be wondering how I ran into her, and frankly, I walked out of the front of my building, Mumford Hall, and was headed over to Turner Hall, which is about a block away, to talk with Emerson Nafziger, Extension Agronomist. We'll hear more from him on Monday. And they just happened to be in my path, and I happened to have a recorder in my pocket. Sometimes that's just how it happens. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. I think we need to get right to it, Eric. Lots to cover today. Let's start in Argentina, where I think there's some new longer-range models.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that just happened over the last about 24 hours is that some of the longer-range projections we get from the U.S. model called the GFS and the European model called the ECMWF is that both models are suggesting about 8 days from now, 7 to 8 days from now, that we're actually going to have a front that's going to pass through parts of Argentina and potentially produce some precipitation in Buenos Aires, but more precipitation near Uruguay and southern Brazil. Now, this is one of those areas we've been talking about now for months that's been very, very dry. I'm going to put this caveat on it, okay? Over the last about 90 days, we have seen the models overpromise on precipitation a lot, because there's a famous saying that came out of the Dust Bowl of the 1930s about drought. And the saying is, all signs fail in the time of drought. So what I want everybody to hear is that we need to watch this, because this could be beneficial. But got to remember, we're pretty late in the season to kind of rescue, you know, the first crop soybeans and corn out of that part of Brazil and Uruguay and Argentina. But it's a shift. It's a change. And we're finally going to penetrate a front through there, which we haven't done in a while. So that, I think, is some interesting news coming out of Argentina that we should all be watching at this point.
I'm told that here in the United States, there is a near-term storm maybe south of us?
Yeah, right now we have this trough that's going to sneak in from the northwest really today and early tomorrow. By the time it sneaks into the kind of the Arklatex area, Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, it's going to try to kick off a low. And the Storm Prediction Center has been putting out its risk maps for Saturday, really Saturday evening. And we're watching basically the lower Mississippi River Valley for some chances of severe weather. Now, it's not so much the severe weather that I'm concerned about with agriculture at this point in the year. What I'm concerned about is this is going to be putting down more rain across an area that over the last month has been absolutely soaked. So why we have to care about that in ag is because the lower Mississippi, the mid Mississippi River Valley, getting over into parts of Tennessee, you know, that area, Arkansas to Tennessee, they are saturated right now. Rivers are in flood stage, and we're going to put more rain over that same area. And if that's the first area that gets planted this year, you know, that is an area that we have to watch, because if they have delays in planting, well, that could be a part of a market story we have to pay attention to. So that system coming through here for us in Illinois, it looks like the western side of the state may actually get cold enough air around. We might even see some snow out of this. So a little bit of uncertainty there. I got to watch it more closely over the next 24 hours, but I certainly think we could be getting some snow in western Illinois out of this system as it snakes on through.
I didn't hear you mention some of the drier areas of the U.S. in that precipitation forecast.
Yeah, you know, the thing is we've been talking now for a while that parts of Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas, really the western parts of those states and northern Texas, you know, they've gone since last October before they've seen precipitation, last time they saw it. And the thing is, the next 10 days, long-range forecast maps from both the European model and the U.S. model have a big, giant donut hole over that area, which means it's going to continue to stay dry. What was just released, though, in the last couple of days here was the long-range forecast by some of the best U.S. models. And I'll tell you this, one of the things they're keying in on is a very interesting Pacific Ocean temperature pattern. We call it the negative phase of the Pacific Decadal Oscillation. Now, what's the point of me telling you that? If that particular feature dominates the flow of the atmosphere through April, May, and June, it actually means we could keep the central plains dry. And that's important for us because if that drought survives April, May, and June, we have to be concerned about it for our growing season. But I want to tell everybody this that's listening. If you want to get rid of that drought that's right now going on in the central plains, all we need to do is shift the flow of the jet stream about 500 miles to the west. And that's not much for the jet stream. If that happens, April and May, we will erase that drought in western parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, northern Texas. Unfortunately, for that to happen means they're going to get a lot of severe weather. So they're really set up for kind of, they're going to be in trouble either way, either too much severe weather or drought. But we're going to be watching that Pacific Ocean between now and all the way through our growing season. So a lot to take in there, but some cool stuff to be watching.
Well, we'll be asking you about it every week on Friday. Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That, of course, is Eric Snodgrass. He is with Agrible.